We're going to take a look at another one of the key verses or passages in Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll be reading together Romans 8, 15 through 17. So if you want to look in there in your Bible, you can follow along while I read it. Romans 8, verses 15 through 17. The Apostle Paul writing says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." As we continue our series on key verses from Romans chapter 8, let me remind you that so far we have already learned a couple of things from this chapter. First, those who are in Christ are no longer under God's judgment and condemnation. Second, when we become Christians, we are obliged to stop letting our flesh govern us and start letting the Holy Spirit have control in our lives. As far as today's scripture goes, there's so much contained in these three short verses that I know I won't be able to cover it all, so I'm just going to hit the main points. And we start off with a list of the benefits of sonship. Now, sonship is an inclusive term that covers all who are Christians, whether they're male or female. So all you women should not feel left out or slighted. The first benefit is that we are all set free from slavery. That might surprise some to know that we were in slavery. Some people might say, "Well, I've never been a slave." Well, before you were a Christian, you were a slave. We have all been slaves and in bondage to sin. What happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament is sort of a type, a picture of what happens to all who are enslaved by sin. You remember they were unable to set themselves free, and so God had to send a deliverer to them. And his name was Moses. He sent a deliverer to them to set them free, that helped them out of their bondage. The same thing was true of us. We were all in bondage to sin and could not set ourselves free, so God sent his Son to deliver us. Paul wrote in Galatians, "God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter." Before we became Christians, we could not help ourselves. We were bound by sin. It was our very nature. That's why we were called sinners. But we're not sinners anymore. Did you know that? We may sin from time to time. It was our very nature then to sin, and we couldn't help it. But now we have a new nature. We don't have to sin. We have a choice. Sometimes we do sin, but it's not because we can't help it. Jesus has broken the power of sin over us and set us free from that awful condition of spiritual slavery. It's sort of someone who's been addicted to something, whether a substance or whatever. They simply cannot break free from that without help. I don't know if you've known anybody that had that problem, but it's a terrible thing. And even though they try and try and try and try, they just keep going back until they're actually broken free from that particular thing, that addiction. And that was our addiction, sin. And now we have been broken free and we don't have to sin anymore. The next benefit of sonship is freedom from fear. I'm sure it has always been true that people are fearful, but it seems they are more fearful these days than ever before. And I was thinking, too, that the leaders of our country don't help matters by refusing to identify evil and develop a strategy to defeat it. The terrorists in the world have made some very horrific claims and have done some horrific things. They have vowed to come here and wreak havoc. And yet, it seems that our leaders are not able to handle it. Then there are people who have lost all hope of having a decent job and a good life in spite of the claims that our economy is doing just fine. However, the greatest fear of all of us is one that has plagued mankind since the fall, namely the fear of death. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about death having a sting. Have you ever been stung by a bee? It hurts, doesn't it? Some bees, like wasps, can sting us over and over again. But when a honeybee stings us, it leaves its stinger in us. And you know that will hurt until we pull that stinger out. Well, that is what Paul is talking about. When we pull it out, it feels better. When death stings us, it also hurts. I have seen that hurt many times while ministering to people. And I felt it in my own life, as I'm sure you have also, if you've lost loved ones. Paul says that Jesus has removed the sting from death. How? By his resurrection. And someday that last enemy, death, will be completely destroyed. We don't have to fear death or anything in this life because Jesus has fought the battles for us and has overcome. Has won the victory for us. By faith, we can enter into that victory right now. Right now and right here. And be set free from fear. Yet another benefit of sonship is the realization that we have been adopted into God's family. The wonderful thing to know. We have the privilege of calling our Heavenly Father, Abba. Abba, Father. When I was in high school, we had a young man come to our school who was an orphan. Have you ever known an orphan before? I thought about how hard it would be to go through life without a mom or a dad. Perhaps that's why God tells us to be kind to orphans. One of my favorite movies is Father Flanagan's Boys Town with Spencer Tracy. He took in all of those homeless boys and finally was able to establish a place in Nebraska called Boys Town, which is still operating today. The truth of the matter is that we were all spiritual orphans before we came to Christ. When we became Christians, one of the wonderful things that happened was we were adopted into God's family. Now, we weren't born into his family in a natural way, and that's why God had to adopt us. And he did. Through Jesus Christ, he adopted us into his family, and now we're a part of the family of God. We're a part of the household of God. And that is a wonderful realization. While we didn't have any family at all at one time, now we have a great big family. We have brothers and sisters all over the whole world. And we're a part of that glorious family. And we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and takes care of us. On top of that, he grants us the privilege of calling him Abba Father. That word Abba denotes a special relationship, a close relationship. Abba is a term of intimacy and endearment. One lady who had a very poor relationship with her earthly father said it was like he was inviting her, that is our Heavenly Father, to come and sit on her lap. Rather than addressing him as some great cosmic force, our Heavenly Father prefers that we call him Papa. That's what Abba means. It means Abba. It means Papa. Of course, we should show our Heavenly Father the proper respect and reverence. We should give him that which he deserves. But he also wants us to feel free to approach him at any time and be as close to him as we possibly can. That's why James in his letter encourages us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Because we have been adopted into the family of God, there's another benefit we receive. It's a pretty wonderful benefit. We are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Max Lucado writes, "The moment we share our adoption, we go from orphan to heir. We and Christ share the same will. What he inherits, you inherit." Think about that. I wonder if any of us know the full extent of the inheritance available to us through our relationship with God through Christ. Paul says we are heirs of God. It doesn't matter that we've been adopted into God's family, for as I understand it, adopted children have the same status as children born into a family. We are heirs of God. Let me ask you a question. How much does God have? He has everything, doesn't he? If we happen to be heirs of someone who had nothing, then our inheritance would be nothing. But we are heirs of God who has everything. So we have a great inheritance, my friend. More than that, we are joint or co-heirs with Christ. Whatever God gave to Jesus, he gives to us. Whatever God gave to Jesus, he made us heirs of all of it. Did you ever wonder why the two parts of the Bible are called testaments? Old Testament, New Testament. Have you ever heard the phrase last will and testament? It refers to someone leaving instructions of how their estate is to be handled after they die. We could say that the two testaments are God's directions for helping us to understand and receive our inheritance as his children. When you read through the whole Bible, you see, and you can say, that's my inheritance. That's what God wants me to have. I read this statement recently concerning our inheritance as the children of God. It went like this. I used to read the Bible to find out how to be a successful, victorious Christian. But now I read to find out more about Jesus. Because I know that when I find him, I find every blessing in him. Do you remember the little chorus that says, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. He satisfies. He satisfies. And there are the words of the hymn that say, I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords to me. If we have him, if we have Jesus, we have everything. What a rich inheritance we have, my friends. And as we look at today's scripture, we can see that there's one more part. It's the part we would probably just as soon forget about. Paul says, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we share in his sufferings. Wait a minute. We want the blessings. But the sufferings? Who wants sufferings? That's not exactly what we had in mind, but brothers and sisters, it is part of the package. What does Paul mean by sufferings? We understand that some of Christ's suffering was his alone. We cannot share those sufferings. We cannot share his suffering on our behalf on the cross. That was a once and for all sacrifice, and he was the only one that could do it. And thank God he was willing to do it. Jesus made that for us. However, every time that we are persecuted, insulted, rejected, tortured, and maybe even killed because of our allegiance to Jesus Christ, we are sharing in his sufferings. Now, thankfully, those of us who live in this country have not had to face much of that. But it seems like it's coming, and it's getting more and more all the time. So we may have to face that one of these days. We may have to go through that kind of suffering to stand on our faith as Christians. The Apostle Paul was able to write about the sufferings of Jesus, sharing those sufferings, filling up those sufferings, because he himself endured so much. At one point, he listed some of those sufferings. And I just scratch my head and wonder, would I have been able to endure all of that for the sake of the gospel? For the sake of preaching the gospel? But what did the Apostle Paul think about all of the hardships and all of those difficult things that he endured and had to face and went through? He says, I count them as nothing. Nothing. For the privilege of knowing Christ. Oh, how blessed we are. I count them as nothing. Oh, that we may be found faithful when sufferings come to us in whatever form. Paul said, if we want to share the glory of Christ, we must also be willing to share his sufferings. God never promised us a rose garden, did he? But he did promise to be with us and to help us through any kind of situation, any kind of circumstances that we might face, and any kind of trouble that we might have because of our faith. We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to endure it by ourselves, for God has promised to be with us. You know, when somebody gives us a check and we want to cash it as a joint check, it takes two signatures, doesn't it? Think of our inheritance, that which God has given to us, that which Christ has provided for us. Think of that as a check. For us to put our endorsement on that check means that we are going to believe and to act like what God promised in his word is true. And when we do that, we sign our names to the check. Jesus has already signed his name to every promise in his word. Now, it's up to us. Let's go and cash the check. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are heirs of yours, that we have the gracious privilege of calling you Abba, Father. That we have a relationship with you, a close personal relationship through your son Jesus. And that because of that, we are heirs of yours and co-heirs with Jesus. And we have a rich and wonderful inheritance, Father. Help us to live as if we know what that is. And Father, to see that inheritance being lived out in our lives day by day. Thank you for it, Father, and thank you, Father, for loving us so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.